It's lovely, lovely this morning to see lovely smiling faces. Someone told me recently that they came to church a couple of weeks ago and they got a bit of frost nip, which apparently is the first stage of frostbite in one of their toes. I mean, it was cold. I've got to admit, it was quite cold that Sunday. But I thought, wow, that's quite extreme. The weather has been, as you know, quite cold. And this concrete delightful hall is not the warmest in the depth of winter. But there's been a slight change. The temperature's gone up, and it may not have gone up a lot, but it's gone up. It used to be, just even a week ago, it was hovering around freezing. Now it's hovering around 10 degrees centigrade. I admit it's not sweaty. Some of you still got your coat on. It's not hot, I do admit. But the snow, the ice, the frost has stopped. And we've started to see just those spring flowers springing up around us here in North London. There's been a definite change of season. Spring is on its way. Not in full bloom, but the first signs of new life have started. We are entering a new season. But more importantly, I believe we're witnessing a spiritual change of season. As I said, this is a new time as spring emerges, but spiritually, something is happening here in North London and something's happening here in this church. I admit, just like the weather, it's only the beginning. But I've been a Christian long enough to recognize spiritual change. I've been amazed at things that are happening around the area. I've been working some of the schools around here for a long time. And for a number of years, it's been very hard to try and do anything Christian in the schools in this area. It's been like a wall, a brick wall, stopping anything of a Christian nature. And I've been amazed, absolutely astounded, at how over the last year or so, these spiritual walls have come tumbling down. And the opportunities abound, absolutely abound, open doors in the schools in this area. Nick's been pioneering ECOS. A number of you have been working with him, inviting people to have a chance to conversation on Sundays with English. And just last week, 2 weeks ago, Nick was telling us there was a waiting list for people wanting to come on this ECOS thing. Demand is exceeding supply. That's something new. And over the last weeks and months, every Sunday there's been something new. God's been on the move. New people have been coming. Something's changing. A spiritual season has started. Sandra, where's Sandra gone? Sandra, guess come. Sandra was in the prayer meeting on Tuesday, and Sandra felt a particular verse of the Bible for us. What was it, Sandra?
It was Isaiah 43, and I felt the Lord say for us, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." Amen.
There's something I believe new. God is doing some new stuff. And I've asked Dorota this morning if she'd come and just share some of the things that have been happening in her family as an encouragement to us of what God's up to. Dorota, give Dorota a warm welcome.
Thank you. I'm really grateful to God what he's doing. I can say it's a kind of triple testimony. One part of it is still in progress, but I will start with the first thing is my husband and his work. For almost 5 years, we prayed for his full-time job. He's a postman, and as you know, it's very hard work, and I will not speak a lot because it's another story with his job, but on Monday this week, his boss, he's quite not an easy man, quite a difficult man to get with. He said, "Mr. Martin, we will try to make savings different way and you will get a full-time job." So finally, you know, it was in step by step, but he's got the full-time. And another thing is our son. We've got a son who is 4 years old. And last year he was diagnosed with autism. It was a very hard time for us. And we see God is healing him definitely. We prayed at some point together, and we see a lot of changes in his life. For example, what I can say, such simple things that when you have a child you don't appreciate, like when a child plays with other children. He didn't do that. Communication, simple conversations, he didn't do that. He didn't speak for a very long time, very, very long time, no words at all. And now are these days when things are changing, so he starts to, you know, to have conversations, just things like starts playing with other children as well. So God is healing him definitely. And, you know, we have seen also a lot of favor. God actually placed different people on our path, and it was amazing how much favor we have seen. And also connected with Robin, we wanted to support him in his development, and somehow, you know, God opened the door for the new flat, and we moved. Things went so quickly that we didn't even were prepared well for all that, but it's amazing what God did. And it was definitely people, certain people that God placed on our path that showed favor, amazing favor. And we are in a new place now, so it's such a blessing. And we are so grateful to everyone who prayed and to everyone who helped us. And I used to have a neighbor in another place where we lived, and I always tried to convince her that, you know, God exists, but she doesn't believe in that. And when Paul and Barbara, they helped us with the move, she said, who are these people? And I said, these are the leaders of our church. And she said, oh, I have never seen leaders of the church helping people with the move, you know, physically, you know, carrying stuff and things like that. So it was amazing for her. And it's another signal that, you know, God exists. And she's still in touch with me. And many times, you know, she might have been offended by me, but she always wanted to be, you know, still a friend, and she still calls me. And I believe someday she will come here. I do believe that. So, what I want to say, what I learned actually with Martin, is that it's really worth it waiting for God's timing. Because, you know, when God opens the door, it means it's his timing. And then, you know, nobody will close it. Nobody. So keep waiting. I know how hard it is. Sometimes the trials are so long, it looks like eternity. But keep praying, you know. Prayer works. I'm definitely sure we would not get so far if people would not be praying with us. And we would not achieve that much. The doors would not open, for sure. And, you know, keep praying, keep depending on God's, you know, word, and keep strong depending on him. And he will answer. This is for sure. And so often I've got this picture. It's in Ezekiel. The vision when when Ezekiel saw the glory of God, and he saw the picture of a lion, ox, man, and eagle. And for a very long time, I had a feeling that, you know, the hard time and the process that we are going through, it's like of an ox, because, you know, the character of God is shown in these different images, like lion, eagle, ox, and man. And I felt like, you know, in the place of testing and trial, it's like, you know, the ox, he does this hard work, he's, you know, pressing on, and it's so hard, the load is quite heavy, and he needs to look actually one direction, and he's yoked with the master all the time. It's so hard. But then God told me, you know, the season will change again, and even though you may feel that, you know, the time of ox is so long and it's, you know, hard and you are still waiting, the time of lion will come and the time of eagle and the man. So be encouraged that, you know, the prayers may take long. Sometimes they do, unfortunately, but God will answer. So thank you, everyone who prayed, everyone who supported us in any kind of way. And, of course, thank you, God.
Thank you. Fantastic. Fantastic. It's a time of change. It's a new season. Let's pray together as we're starting our time together this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you lead us, as Dorot has been encouraging us, Lord, you lead us in your time and by your Spirit and in your grace. And Lord, we're here this morning because we want to hear you. We want to be changed by you. We want, Lord, to walk with you in a fresh and new way. Holy Spirit, would you come today and speak powerfully, powerfully into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. On Sundays, we've been looking at a book of the Bible called Isaiah. It's an amazing book. It was written a long time ago. And it's the incredible thing about the Bible is, even though it was written so long ago, it's a living book, it's a fresh book, and it's a book that speaks right into my life, your life, now here in London, all these years after it was written, because it's God's book, and he's speaking freshly to us today. And the passage I want us to look at in the book of Isaiah is chapter 54, a couple of verses there that I felt were good for us this morning. And Isaiah 54, they're going to come up on the screen here. And these are the verses, Isaiah 54 verse 1. Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song. Shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Isaiah here is talking about a woman who can't have children. But what's clear from the context, the bit before and the bit afterwards, actually this is an allegory, it's a picture. It's not a literal woman. Actually, it's something that stands for something to help us understand something God wants to communicate with us. Now, in that part of the world, in the Near Eastern culture, in that time, for a woman not to have children was a huge tragedy. It was a big deal. There was a cultural stigma of not having kids. Even seen in the description of her as a barren woman. This is a woman who wanted to have children but couldn't have any. But surprisingly, in these verses, God tells this woman to sing. God says, rejoice. God says, celebrate. Because even though she hasn't been able to have any children, there is going to be a change and God is going to give her lots of children. Isaiah is painting a picture in the mind of his hearers, and we can appreciate something of the poignancy of what he says. God tells her to be happy, to celebrate. Her unfruitfulness is about to change, and it is going to change radically. That's the image that he describes. But as if it's not an actual woman, if it's an illustration, who is Isaiah talking about? The wonderful thing about the Old Testament, particularly Old Testament prophets, is that the fact that God speaks through these scriptures to different people groups. Sometimes the book of Isaiah is focused on the people of Israel at that time in the 8th century BC. Other parts of the book, it's talking about the future of the people of Israel. Other parts of the book, it talks about the nations of the world. Other parts of the book of Isaiah, it focuses on Jesus, on the Messiah. Even though it's 700 years before he was born, it focuses on the first coming of Jesus, that first Christmas 2,000 years ago. Other parts of the book of Isaiah focus on the second coming of Jesus, the thing we're waiting for, looking for, expecting when Jesus comes back again to this world. And finally, other parts of the book of Isaiah talk about the church. Even though it was 700 years before the church was started, nevertheless, Isaiah looked ahead as a prophet and he saw the church. He saw us. And this passage we're looking at today in Isaiah 54 is written to us. We're not left guessing as to what the meaning is or what the application is, because the Apostle Paul, writing the New Testament, writing the book of Galatians, in chapter 4 and verse 27, he quotes this passage. The Apostle Paul says, this passage in Isaiah 54 that we're looking at today, he says, this is about us, it's about you, it's about the church. And the New Testament describes the church as like the bride of Christ. That Jesus is the bridegroom, that we as his church are the bride. And that one day Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back from heaven and he's going to take us as his bride, take us from here to be with him in heaven forever. And there's going to be a massive marriage celebration, a massive party in heaven when Jesus comes and takes us to be with him forever. And so this passage in Isaiah 54 is written for us. And the Apostle Paul explains to the church in Galatia that this woman isn't a problem about physically having children. This is a problem about producing spiritual babies. That's the problem that Isaiah sees and that we're looking at today. It's a problem in the church, and the problem is the lack of people being born again. So the barren woman is the church not being fruitful, not seeing people become Christians in great numbers. You see, part of the thing about being a Christian is we're called to be effective as Christians in touching others and helping others become followers of Jesus. This is what Jesus said in John 15. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. And so this passage in Isaiah 54 is a passage not about physical children, but about spiritual children. It's about new people who aren't Christians coming into church and becoming Christians. That's the application. That's what was on Isaiah's heart when he wrote it all those years ago. And God is saying to us as his church, rejoice, celebrate. There's going to come a time when God will give the church spiritual children. Lots and lots of children, spiritual children. And so we're going to look today at how we are to prepare for that time. And so we're going to look in Isaiah 54 and verse 2. It says this. This is what God tells us to do to prepare for these new Christians. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Enlarge the place of your tent. Now, I visited Israel a number of years ago. And just outside Jerusalem on the Judean hills, still today, there are Bedouin tents where families live and they move around from place to place, and they've been there for thousands of years. Obviously not the same family, generations have been there for thousands of years. And this is the image that Isaiah is talking about, of a family living in a tent. Now I've got to be honest, I don't like camping. I couldn't imagine living in a tent. Even my early experiences of camping were not good. When I was 18, a guy from school, myself, we said, let's go on a camping holiday. Let's go on a walking holiday. Went to the Yorkshire Dales. We took a tent along and we arrived there. And I was just thinking, this is going to be fantastic. Fresh air, out in the countryside. Beautiful. What could be better? What could be better than camping in the countryside? So we arrived. As we arrived, I started to put the tent up. And these mosquitoes thought, yummy, this man is for us. And they bit me to pieces as I tried to put the tent up. I then got into the tent and I've realized that actually the tent was pitched on a slope. Very difficult to sleep on a slope. I realized the ground was hard. It was lumpy. It was cold. I didn't get a wink of sleep that night. Fine, in the morning, I thought, breakfast time. I got a packet of camping bacon eggs, which was some yellow powder you add water to and you heat up. And I can assure you, it never saw an egg or a rasher of bacon in its life. I discovered that camping is not for me. Now, let's be honest. I'm sure in a warm climate with the right equipment, camping could be brilliant. And that's what Isaiah has in mind here. Isaiah has in mind a big, beautiful tent, a welcoming place. And God tells the barren woman to prepare for a big family that's on its way. Prepare by making the family tent big enough to hold all the people that were coming. Now, in that culture at that time, in the 8th century BC, in the Near Eastern culture, it was the woman's job to set the tent up, the family tent, and to make sure that it was large enough for all the kids that were on their way, which is why the passage is, enlarge the place of your tent to this woman. God tells us to make it big enough to accommodate the family that is heading that way. Even before the new children arrive, make the room big enough. Make it comfortable for them. Now, the application for us as God's church is to prepare ourselves. To prepare ourselves. This is God's word, I believe, for us today here in London. Prepare ourselves for the people that God is going to send. But now, for here at New Life, we don't need to get a bigger building, not yet. There's some more space at the back there. We can always budge up a bit here at the front. There's still some more space. We've got enough seats. There's lots of chairs. There's loads of classrooms for all the children and young people here in the school. But God does want us not to enlarge the physical building. We've not got any building works planned. But God wants us to enlarge our hearts. Actually, God wants you and I that our hearts would be big enough, welcoming enough, so that all these spiritual children that are coming in, that there's space enough in our hearts for them. Now, one of the things why I'm very grateful to be part of this church is that welcoming people is a part of our DNA, and caring for people is a part of our church culture. God's taught us these things over the past years. But I think God's speaking to us about some fresh urgency, that our hearts would be even bigger. However big your heart is for people, however much you care for people, to what extent you care for others, God, I believe, is asking that you would enlarge the place of your heart, that you'd have more room, even more room for people, because God wants to bring many people in through those doors, because God has a big heart. As we said last week, we live in a city of 9 million people, a lot of people. And a vast, vast majority don't know God, have no experience of God, are living lonely, isolated lives. God wants them to come, obviously not just in this church, but in the churches across this city, that they would come into this tent. God is speaking to us with fresh urgency. He continues in Isaiah 54 and chapter 2. This is what Isaiah says. He says, stretch your tent curtains wide. God is asking this woman who's preparing the tent, preparing the family tent, to make the fabric go a bit further. Just to stretch it a bit so that there's more space in the tent. Could you stretch? He's saying, can you just stretch whatever fabric you've got? Could you stretch it? Make it go a bit further. And I believe that God is for us asking us to stretch ourselves a bit more. If you feel already stretched, then that's a challenge for us. Challenge from God for you and for me. You know, recently I had a cold. Wasn't feeling so good, and I stopped going to the gym for a while because I wasn't feeling very well. When I started going back a few weeks ago, as my muscles were a bit tight, stretching them was painful. I came up, I'm still a bit stiff now because stretching isn't easy. And God wants you and me, wants us to stretch our lives, that there's space for the new people. It's certainly not comfortable being stretched. Fitting more people into our already busy lives, not easy. Welcoming another new person, inviting someone new for coffee. There's more space in our hearts, more space in our lives. And almost as though God anticipates our response, the prophet Isaiah continues. He says this in Isaiah 54 verse 2. Don't hold back. Just in case any of us are saying, oh God, I can't do that. God, I can't manage any more. Can you see how much my life is stretched? You don't understand, God. I've got my job's really stretching, and where I live's really stretching, and my family. Have you seen my family? They're really stretching. God, how can I possibly stretch anymore? God is saying this to us. Do not hold back. See, it can be more comfortable speaking to people I already know. It's easier to welcome my friends than someone new. But God says in this new season, don't hold back. In the new seasons, things don't stay the same. God is doing something new amongst us, and it's not going to be the same. It's not going to look the same as last year. What God's doing now is a new thing. And God's asking us to stretch our hearts, not hold back. Be ready for the new things that God's bringing. Everything is changing. God is a God of change. God is a God who brings change. God himself does not change, but as he comes in our lives, he brings change. He's asking us to do the changing. Remember, he is perfect. I am certainly not. He is completely loving. I'm at times selfish. He's totally giving. I hold back at times. This is what God says in Malachi 3 verse 6. I am the Lord and I do not change. God is a God who doesn't change. He is perfect and pure and 100% loving and giving. That is the God who has revealed himself to be. And so if I'm going to be around God, I'm going to be the one that's going to be doing the changing. I hope you're ready for change this year. Do you like change? Amen. So some of us have got a different propensity for change for others. Some of us feel a little bit kind of, well, I'm not so sure about change. Other of us are more up for it. Whatever your personal view on change, I've got some news for you today. You are going to change. I'm sorry, whether you like it or not. This is a year ahead of change. God is going to bring change in your life. The biggest change is not in your external. Dorota was saying the wonderful things that have happened in her external circumstances with a job and a flat and with her son. But actually the biggest change is actually in your life. The biggest change is in your heart. That's the change that God's going to bring. And he tells us how he's going to do it in Isaiah 54. He says this in verse 2. Lengthen your cords. You see, to cope with the growth in his family, God is asking you to lengthen. God's asking you to do more. What was short to become long. Things in your life that were this long to become this long. There's going to be this stretching. There's going to be this pulling. It's going to be an uncomfortable year. I'm sorry. I've just got to be honest about it. It's not going to be a comfortable, put your feet up, watch the telly kind of year. It's not. It's going to be a stretching and a lengthening and a tough year. But it's a good change because it's a change that God's bringing. It's a good change because we need it. We need to change. There are things in your life that need to change. And that God in his mercy and his kindness, with his love and his goodness, is coming and he is stretching and he is lengthening and he is pulling. If you feel uncomfortable at work, if you feel it's tricky with your family, if you feel it's difficult with your neighbors, hey, God is bringing some pulling. God is bringing some stretching because he wants things to change in you. It's not so much about the circumstances of our lives changing. In a sense, God can do that very easily. It's not hard. Dorota's just giving us here some great encouragement about the things that God's done. The big thing and the main thing is you changing on the inside. God is committed to changing you. And how is he going to do that? Well, he's going to do a number of things. Firstly, here in carrying on in Isaiah 54, he says this. He says, strengthen your stakes. Like a tent that's sort of staked in the ground. Strengthen your stakes. Last Thursday, it was very windy. Did you get blown around much last Thursday? My neighbor has got the biggest gazebo I've ever seen in my life. He had it imported from Africa, and it is like a massive, I'll exaggerate if I say it's as big as this hall, but it is huge gazebo, and it's actually structured with scaffolding poles. It's a big thing, but that wind on Thursday was very strong. That wind was very strong. And I saw the wind get underneath this thing. I thought, that's going to take off. That's going to head off. That's going to just head off. But it didn't because it was staked. It didn't because it was actually firmly fixed. It wasn't going anywhere. Even though it was trying, it wasn't going to go. And Isaiah here says, strengthen, make sure your stakes. If this tent is going to not blow over, if this tent's not going to blow away, then make sure that your stakes are strengthened. And I believe there are two aspects to that for us. Firstly, it's speaking of our individual relationship with Jesus. Actually, each one of us here, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you know Jesus, your personal Savior, that you have a relationship with him. And what God wants you to do this year is make sure that you're firmly and deeply going down into Jesus. That your life is rooted in him, it's firmly fixed in him. And so when the winds of change come, you won't get blown away, you won't get blown over, but because your life is rooted in Jesus, you're going to stand firm, you're going to be staked, you're going to be there strengthened. And so the first thing is this, the first thing is that our lives would continue this year going on with God, deeper with God. Michelle's helping us with these scriptures to focus on Jesus, to get God's word in our minds and our hearts, that I will be strengthened in my relationship with him. That's the first strengthening. The second strengthening is that our strength of our relationships one with another. That if people are going to come in that are new into here, into this place, and be able to be loved and cared for, we need strong relationships with each other. Because we need that love and that care, so that when people come in, they're coming in to the love and care that God's given us as his people. The wonderful thing and the amazing thing is, God's given us to each other. Just have a sneaky look at the person next to you. A sneaky look. God's given you the people that are around here in this church, that we could go deep with each other. Do you know, the amazing thing is, one of the things about not having a building as a church is we actually have got nothing. Actually, what have we got? Well, we've got, there's a heater over there. There's a few music stands. What have we got as a church? All we've got as a church is our personal relationship with Jesus and each other. That is it. There's nothing else. And so God's saying, make sure that your relationship is going deep with him this year, but also make sure your relationship is good with other people in the church, that we're working at our relationship, that our relationships are deep, go deep with each other, so that there's a container suitable for those people who God wants to add to his family, that there's somewhere they can come and enjoy and be loved and be cared for and be a part. Two things. So this passage finishes with a promise. If you're up for this, if you're up for the enlarging of your heart, if you're up for the stretching of yourselves, if you're up for this lengthening and strengthening, then God says this, Isaiah 54 and verse 3. You will, because then you will spread out to the right and to the left. There will be growth. There will be more people coming into this tent. There will be this family getting bigger to the left and to the right. God is going to fill this hall. God is going to fill these chairs. You know, a funny thing about these chairs, the green chairs you're sat on today. About 6 months ago, the school just got rid of all the old chairs. There was a real hodgepodge of old chairs, and there were never enough chairs. People having to sit on the kind of bits at the side there because there never was enough chairs. And so the school got rid of the whole chairs, and then they got all these chairs. I think it's about 300 chairs here. And it's as though I just felt, well, God, that's fantastic. And so God's saying, okay, I've got the chairs now ready. All we need now, they're stacked over there. The hall's big enough. The chairs are here. It's ready for God to spread us out to the right and the left. There's plenty of classrooms. This school is not short of classrooms, I can tell you. There's plenty of classrooms for the youth, for the children, for the babies. There's loads of space. I think that God is getting us ready because more people are about to come through that door. And we've got to be ready, friends. We've got to be ready. This is what it says to finish that passage in Isaiah 54. It says this. It says, then your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. You see, spiritual children, descendants are going to come in. And London is a place of many nations. London is a place of people from all over the world. The nations are in London. And so those nations are coming into God's house here in London. And even though London is the biggest city in Europe, even though London is the most visited city in the whole of the world, even though London is a tremendously prosperous city, actually spiritually it's desolate. Spiritually, there's a very 5% of people are Christians. 5%, 95% are not Christians. It's a desolate, desolate place. You know, just from your neighbors, you know, from your friends, you know, from your own experience of the tragedy and the heartache and the desolation of this city. Even though there's so much about it, which is so amazing, actually, spiritually, it's this described here in this passage here. It is a desolate city. That is why there is so many people crying out. So many people out there today crying out, lonely, looking for something in their lives. And God has asked us to erect a tent, a family tent, his family tent, that we would welcome those that are outside, that they come in and that they will find Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about something in the distant future. I think it's happening now. what I believe, my opinion is, I believe this is a word for God's church, for us today here in London. What an exciting invitation from God to partner with him in what he's doing today. What an exciting invitation. God is saying to you, would you like to work with me? That's the invitation God's saying to me and to you. Would you like to be part of this exciting thing that God's doing? Now, do you know that you're not sat here today by accident? You're not. Look what it says in Acts 17, verse 26. It says, God set the times and places where men and women should live. You're living in London. You might have thought, well, I came to London because I wanted to come here. I wanted to come to London. Actually, God's determined whether you're here for a short time, whether you're here studying or working for a short time, whether you're here for a longer time. For this season, God has determined to put you here in this city. Be careful. If you think you're here for a short time, I came for 6 months, and that was 33 years later. I came from sunny Manchester. I thought I'd just go for 6 months down to the big smoke. And that was 33 years, and I've been here all that time. It doesn't matter how long you are in this city. You're here right now for God's purpose. It's really just this morning, let that sink into our hearts. That the reason you're sat here in this city is God has put you here. Not to make money, not to work, not to have a family, all the things. Yes, all those things. But God has put you here. He's determined the place that you could be part of his people here for such a time as this here in this city. What a wonderful thought. I love that verse we looked at last time in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, where this is what God says about your life. God says, I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So God has specific plans for your life. And if you're sat here, it's a good guess, the fact that God, those involved being in London, for now, God's put you here for his purpose and his plans. Now, one thing that's absolutely certain is whatever plans you could think of for your life, they are not going to be anything compared to these plans. You could write a list saying, well, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that, it'd be brilliant to do this, it'd be brilliant to do that. God says, I have plans for you. And one thing I can guarantee is God's plans are far, far, far better than anything you could. If I said this morning, here's a bit of paper, write down plans that would be really brilliant for your life. And so we could each one of us get a bit of paper, write those things down, and get really excited, really excited. Fantastic. God says nothing. Those are nothing. God's plans for you are far, far better because he knows you in a way you don't. And he knows the future. You don't know the future. He knows the future. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow and next year. He knows it all. And so God's plans are far, far better than yours. Can I ask you today, would you be willing to trust God for his plans rather than your plans? See, sometimes I think we hold back. Certainly I do. I hold back on God thinking, well, God, I hope your plans are the same as my plans. Look, here are my plans, God. I hope they're actually the same. It'd be really nice if they were. And I'm kind of holding back on what God has just in case they're not good enough. God's plans are not good enough. Come on, guys. God's plans, surely someone that knows the future, someone that knows you, someone that was there when you were knitted together in your mother's womb, someone that's recorded every day of your life before you even breathed, surely, surely his plans are better. And God has the plans for us as individuals and us here together as a church. He has got them. How do we move forward? Well, Galatians 5 verse 25, Paul said this. He said, keep in step with the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit will lead us. The Holy Spirit will lead you as an individual, will lead us as a church ahead into the things that he has for us. The Holy Spirit is the one that wants to show me, now make a move, now make a move, now move forward. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us. And so can I ask, would you be willing? Can I ask, would you be willing to say, okay, God, would you lead? Would you guide? Would you open up the way? Because what I'm talking about today is something I think very, very excited about. I'm excited because I know these plans, these things that God has for us are the destiny. It's a big word, destiny. I don't use it lightly, but it's the destiny for me as an individual, why I'm here, what I'm doing here in London, what you're here for, what you're here in London, why you're here in this church, because God's put us together that we keep in step with the Spirit I don't know what God's got for us this year. That's a great relief. If I was coming through the big list and say, okay, you need to do this and this, I don't know. But God does. And as long as we're listening to him, as long as we're willing to go ahead step by step with what he's got, then we've got a fantastic year ahead. I want to ask today, in your heart, let's say yes. Not yes to my ideas, let's say yes to what God has for us. Because I think we're at the beginning of a year. It's only February. There's all these months yet till Christmas. It's not long till Christmas. I know some of you are very excited. Who knows in these next 10 months what God's got for us? Who knows? But one thing that's for sure is God's asking me not just to sit here comfortably and passively and just let the year drift by. God's got some stuff for us to do, individually and together. I want to ask, let's today in our hearts say, God, I'm up for it. God, count me in. God, I want to be part of this. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you that you have led every single person in this hall to this point in their life. That you have led them through difficulties, tough things. You've brought them to this point in this place. And Lord, we've just seen from the Bible that you determine the exact time and place where we should live. And so we know it's not by any accident that we're sat here today in North London and we're here together. And so we're asking, Holy Spirit, could you help us to keep in step with you? Could you help us to walk with you in this new season? Lord, as there's a new season started, could we be your people that would walk with you in this time? Let's just be quiet. Just be quiet for a moment. Let's just wait upon God for just a moment in the stillness of our hearts. Just reflect on the question, not asking you to publicly respond in any way. It's a personal thing. But reflect on the question, are you up for this? Are you up for what God has for you as an individual and here together as his people? Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you. Just as we're quiet before God, can I ask you to talk to the Holy Spirit and just ask God, God, what do you want me to do about these things? How do you want me, God, to respond to these things? What do you want me to go and do this week about these things, God? Amen. I wonder if you can just look up for a moment. It's exciting times. I feel personally very excited. I've been here, as I said, in London 33 years, and I sense something is changing in a new way. And it's a great opportunity for us. Great opportunity. I wanted to stop there. We're going to bring around some refreshments for you because in the next 10 minutes, Nick and Joe are going to do a little thing for us about safeguarding. And so to help us this time, we've got some trays of tea and coffee and some nice cakes. So if a couple of people go to the back and give us a hand, that'd be great. That'd be fantastic. Okay, let's give Mrs. West a big round. Mrs. West, here we go.
Father God, thank you. Thank you for bringing us here in this place today. Lord, I pray that we will enter your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. Yes, Lord. And give thanks to you and praise your name. Mm-hmm. Father, I pray that whether we are in good frames of mind or not so good, Lord, that we will surrender all that we have to you today. And you will help us to lift our voices to heaven. And touch your heart, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Okay, so great. You're all on your feet. So we're going to go straight into the first song, which is called You Are My All in All. And Mercy is going to lead us off in that.
Thank you, Lord.
Mercy.
We praise you, Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:29, that the Lord strengthens the weary and he increases the power of the weak.
Yeah.
As we sing these songs this morning, I think it'll be good for us to just say, Drew was praying earlier and he said that we should sing songs as a praise and as a prayer unto the Lord. So I think it'll be a really good thing for us to do that this morning. And if you're feeling weak, If you're feeling weary, you know you're in the presence of the Lord and He's going to lift you up.
Now, that's what I call good news. If Jesus says yes, no one can say no. And we like to hear good news in this church. And we've got a couple of testimonies. Lola, do you like to come up? What have you got to share with us today, Lola?
Praise the Lord. There is power to heal in this church. You know, when I woke up this morning, because I've been feeling under the weather for some time, and I woke up this morning, I said, well, I'll go to church, but I'll just sit down because I'm very weak. And when we got to church this morning, we went to prayer meeting, and then we did the prayers, and then I came in here, I sat down. But during the worship, the Spirit of the Lord said, I want you to rejoice. I want you to be glad. But my body is telling me, Lola, that's not the way you feel. And in faith, I stood up and the worship commenced and I joined in. And I'm telling you, for the first time, this is actually the first time I really, really rejoiced in the presence of the Lord. Even though my body did not say it, but I'm telling you, as I'm standing before you, all sickness is gone. I feel 100%. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Auntie Onyeka, have you got something to share with us as well?
Praise the Lord, my brethren. Please praise the Lord. Amen. You know what? I was sitting at home yesterday, and they were saying in Leviticus, you have to do sin offering. You have to kill pigeons, different lambs, and pour the oil, the blood somewhere. And I was saying, Lord, if we are in the same era now, how can we be living in our houses? Because blood will be all over the place. It will be mess. But what Jesus has come to beautify us, that we can live in our homes and live well and live comfortably. And you know what? He's so close to us. Yes, last Sunday, I tell you, I had something plugged in here and it's been giving me pain and I could not tell anybody. But when we are singing the power of healing, you know what? He came and he took that off. I just feel great. And you know what? He has said, it's completed. That's what he said on the cross. Everything is completed. What have you got that is worrying you? It's completed. Because he loves us so much. That is so wonderful. Just let us grab that. Whatever you face tomorrow, you face now. Just grab that. He loves us so much to give us all. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And Mercy, you've got a quick testimony?
My husband has told me to be quick, so I will be quick. So we're running out of time. Hurry up. I just felt that I'll share mine quickly as well, because this week I don't know if you can tell from my voice, I've had a very bad cold all week. And because I knew that I was going to be, you know, in front of, you know, leading the worship this morning, and, you know, it would have been a short time to kind of get Barbara to get somebody else to fill in. We just prayed. We prayed and we prayed and it rested. And God in His mercies, you know, healed me. And, you know, that's why I'm able to do what I did this morning. Praise God for that. Even up until last night, my neck went. And David had to be doing a lot of massaging on my neck. Because when God wants to do something great, the devil will try and, you know, he will try and stop it. But we know that the Holy Spirit of God is here. And He's here. He has the power to heal and to save us, and to move us on. Amen.
Okay, and with all that good news, I think we might be ready to greet each other and say hello. So if you could all stand and turn around to the person behind you and say hello, how are you? Bonjour.
Welcome to New Life this morning. I wonder if you grab a seat, please. Grab yourself a seat. Grab yourself a seat. Lovely to see you here today. The children are going to make a move in just a moment, but I wonder if you could just grab yourself a seat. That would be fantastic. Thanks, Pat. Great. Michelle. Michelle has been helping us. Michelle's been helping us learn verses from the Bible because of the power of God's Word. Michelle, tell us what we're doing this week.
Hi there. Okay, this week is the last week of a particularly sticky verse that no one has volunteered to help me with the whole of February, virtually. But it is 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. And sadly, I've written 5, verse 17 on the sheet here. And we've got some sheets. If anyone wants them, I'll put them at the information point of the first 6 verses we've learned. So that's October to March. So you can be ahead for March's verse. He who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. And the reason that we're learning God's word is because if we just skim through it, then it bounces off like rainwater. It just bounces off us and doesn't do very much. But if we take it in, and one of the ways of taking a verse in is to learn it by heart, it takes a lot of effort, huge amount of effort, but it reaps massive rewards. And one of the meanings of this verse is that if we're united with God, we become like God. And if he can heal the sick, as the people have been sharing today, then we can heal the sick through the power of the Holy Spirit. So whatever God can do, we can do with God. So the verses are amazing. You might not believe that God can use you for great things, but he can. And if you get hold of the verses, then you'll end up being like God. And you'll do these things. You'll do amazing things. In fact, it says in the Bible, you'll do more things, great things. Okay? And then the second thing is, I'm running in the Paris Marathon. Yes. Yes, I'm hoping to get round. And on Saturday the 25th of March, as I need to raise £700 for the British Heart Foundation. So I'm running a family fun quiz night at Highgate Road Chapel, Saturday the 25th of March at 6:30. And I'm only permitted to have 100 guests. So if anybody would like to come to the quiz, it will involve all sorts of things that children can do as well. So they'll be colouring in and making things involved. And the quiz won't be really hard. There will be some questions that have a multiple choice answers. So you don't have to invent everything. It's not going to be painfully horrible, like some quizzes are that I go to, where I can only get 2 out of 100. So it won't be like that. It will be fun, we hope. And so Saturday the 25th of March, and I'll put a little note up on that board. So if anybody thinks they would like to come, then I just need names and numbers, and then after 100 we have to stop. Thanks.
Michelle, thank you very much. Holly's going to tell us a bit about something that's happening for the women in the church. Holly, what's happening in a couple of weeks' time?
Hello. So as you'll have seen or heard about a few weeks ago, there's going to be a ladies' event on the 18th of March from 9:30 to 12 at Kentish Town Evangelical Church. So we're just going to share breakfast. There was a breakfast morning for the ladies last year. Some of you may have came. There's going to be a breakfast morning for the ladies with pastries, breakfast, everything. So it's going to be very fun to hear God's word and to just share testimonies with each other ladies, and get to know everyone and encourage and share different things. So yeah, come along and it'll be really good to see you all there.
Fantastic. Brilliant. After this morning's meeting, we've just got a short slot. It's a special slot. Joe's going to be launching Charity Wood. There's a lot of forms over there, which is for the children and teenagers. Special camp that comes up in the summer. But also we've got a little safeguarding slot, just where as a church we take safeguarding very seriously. And we've just got something that we're going to be doing at the end of this morning. So just to hang around at the end when we finish off. Babies, children, teenagers, now's the time to make a move. If you brought children for the first time, if you head out through the doors over there, we'll show you where they're going to go.